Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study Galatians chapter 4, Dr. Bloom was starting with verses 24 through 28 and looking at the two covenants. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If we are slowly learning to develop a stronger belief in eternity and what the Bible says about it, sometimes we'll see things are undermined, other things are plain lied about, and we'll see that people simply don't believe what the Bible has to say about the day and what we're supposed to do. But in that day, when you have eternity set in your inner man, in the very depths of your being, and you know that God will vindicate you one day, then those people, though they may be saved, will know they were totally deceived and they gave in to that deception, because they didn't trust God. And it's just like the Galatian people that were deceived by the Judaizers. They started to weaken in their faith, and so the Judaizers moved in. That's why you stay in the Word of God, you're faithful to God's house, and you be obedient. Now, I'll also know in that day when I appear before God truth about things that maybe some did and they thought they got away with. See, what people don't understand is the shame in heaven will be felt more so in your inner man than the shame you feel down here. Up there, you'll see that the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, you'll see the actual hurt that you've done to God and to others. Here, you confess it to God and you make things right with others. You don't hide things that you need to let them know. Then they're forgiven and they won't be brought up there. So, you know, an innocent party is better equipped to handle eternity. Oh, they may hurt. It may be hard. But they just simply have to trust. God will reveal and vindicate in that day. Ours is to allow our faith in the Word of God and eternity just to grow stronger and more strong. Well, after we've seen the two sons here in verses 21 through 23, we next see the two covenants in verses 24 through 28, as we see wisdom's delight continuing here. We're told that these things are an allegory. Look at verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, which, of course, is the Old Testament Hagar. Now, an allegory here is seen as an actual event that demonstrates a truth, although the event was not ordained of God for this purpose. the event ended up vindicating or proving this one thing, but it wasn't God's desire to have that event happen. As, for an example, Hagar. The word are is signifying that the two women are representations of the two different covenants or testaments, as we say. One will see this as Jesus often used events around him to illustrate eternal proofs. For an example, perhaps as Jesus is speaking to the multitude, he sees somebody sowing seed out there by the Galilee, and he says, a sower went forth to sow. You see, when he told that story, I think it's very interesting because that story, they would just be casting out that seed and some would fall by the wayside, some would on some rocks and some on some thorny ground, some on good ground. But the seed was the same. You see, you don't change the seed. You stick with the Word of God. It is good seed. What needs to happen is something needs to happen about the soil. And see, what your modern technology and your modern methods of church growth and your ideas of marketing is doing today, it's not trying to change the soil, the heart. It's trying to change the seed. So therefore, you don't really preach doctrine. You really don't preach on certain issues, and you don't name sin. Isn't it interesting that God gave a very imperative command back in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in his first couple verses there where he says, I charge thee, wow, charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, here you're getting a charge. Here you're getting something, a command that is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. That's just simply saying, preacher, you that are pastors, God's going to call you into an account for this. He's going to let you know. Now, you need to pray for your pastor and preacher that he won't cower in this day of apostasy, that he'll stand. But then he says the next verse, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, what do you reprove and rebuke? Just from reading the Word of God and seeing that God is absolutely holy, our Jesus Christ is holy, harmless, separate from sinners. What are you rebuking? You're rebuking sin. You're rebuking whatever the Bible calls wrong, whether it has to do with very vile things or just fleshly things of the mind. You rebuke sin. What about exhort? What do you exhort? Encourage. You try to impress people to do that you urge them to do strongly. What do you exhort? Faithfulness to God's house. Witness to others the gospel of Christ. Read the Word. Meditate in the Word. Pray. Tithe to your local church. Be separate from worldliness. Seek to live holy. And on we could go down about the things that we're to exhort people to do, things they don't like us to be exhorted to do. See, a lot of people say, oh, stick with exhortation. That's positive. Don't do so much of the reproof and rebuke. Well, the Bible calls for all three, but even the positive that they think is positive exhortation has to do with doing the things God has told us to do. And he says to do it with all long-suffering. What does he mean by that? You just keep doing it, whether people hate you for it or not. When people get down on you and they say all manner of evil against you, you do it with all long-suffering. And the thing they get upset about, and doctrine. Look, I've had people tell me, don't preach so much Bible, people won't get saved. And yet we see people get saved. Avoid hot-button doctrinal issues and sin issues. You know, I had an evangelist who claims to be a fundamental independent Baptist evangelist that wrote me and told me, you can't do those things. The problem of that is that When I received his email, I had just preached that way, and we had several people get saved and a lot of people get their lives right with God. And from a sermon that just included the things that he said we're not supposed to say. Well, what has happened? He's allowed the marketing of this world go away from the command that God has given us to do. And so, just like this, it takes them away, and they're looking at what? The seed to change it, instead of seeing that the soil needs to be changed. We think of when Lazarus was asleep. He was dead, of course, and laid in the grave for 4 days. And the Lord says he's asleep. What is the Lord doing? He is using a present happening to illustrate truth. Although those things did not happen just to illustrate truth. The sower was going to sow and people were going to die, but Jesus was able to use those things to illustrate truth. I like the following quote by Dr. Henry Morris, who is now with the Lord, but founder of Creation Research Institute, in his Defenders Bible Study note. He says, when God's word is meant to be interpreted allegorically, the text indicates such. Symbolic, figurative, and parabolic language is occasionally used in the Bible. Now, let me just insert there. This is not what he's saying, but let me insert. A lot of times you'll see that when the Lord says, or the Bible says, liken unto, as it were, as, and such words to show that it's not the actual thing, but it's likened unto it, or it's something that you can use to show an illustration, just like the seed and the sower that Jesus used, okay? Now, he goes on to say, this is normally clearly evident in the context. When the author does not indicate such language, the safe and proper way to interpret a text is not to interpret it at all, but simply to assume it means only what it says and to proceed on that basis. In no way is it suggested that the events discussed did not really happen. It really happened that there was an Isaac, there was an Ishmael, there was a Hagar, and there was a Sarah. But there were things that were to show that they had a special meaning to go with it. Now, what we need to understand that you have things called types or shadows. Type is a shadow, but it's not the substance. Noah and Lot, for example, are used as types in prophecy, but they themselves aren't the prophecy. They're simply history.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all
that are in Christ Jesus.